And good afternoon, Atlanta. As always, this is Matt Gardner here with Everything Atlanta. And if my voice sounds familiar, it should, because it is noon on a Tuesday, and we want to welcome everybody out there. Stone, didn't get to see you last week, but how was Thanksgiving for you?
Oh, it was great. Man, we had red stripe and ribs.
Red stripe and ribs. There's something to be thankful for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. So did you live up to your promise of, sweatpants Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. We had no company. We went nowhere. We just hung out, watched old movies, had a couple of beers, and enjoyed some pork.
Well, that is good. We went down to Reynolds Plantation with the family and had a really good time. We caught some really good weather during Thanksgiving. I hope you were able to enjoy some of it.
Yeah.
A couple of predictions actually came true while you were gone. I think it was about 2 weeks ago on the show. Danny had predicted that LSU and Alabama would be the rematch, and it looks like that is going to be the case. So what's your feeling, Stone, on an SEC rematch here for the national championship?
Well, I'll tell you what, if I were LSU, I wouldn't want a rematch. But if I had been Alabama, I wouldn't want a rematch. I'm very excited about it. Where I come from, everybody, big Alabama fans. So I'm very excited about it, but you know what? Any given Saturday, man, it could go either way.
It could. So, and joining us in the studio today is a college football fan, just like we all are. We have Alan Wyatt in studio today. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
And you are partial to the Oregon Ducks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I know, and I need to take a tip from you because you always seem to be cheering for the teams that win.
That's right. I'm on team winner.
Yeah, you are. You're a bandwagon guy, Auburn, LSU.
Hey, whoever's winning.
He's fair weather, huh?
It's not fair to LSU to have to play this game over.
It's not, but I'm an Alabama fan, so I'm cool with it.
There you go.
Yeah, you got it.
I mean, no.
But we were down at the Georgia Dome this weekend. Had a lot of my wife's family come in from Louisiana to enjoy the football game, the festivities, and the Georgia crowd was there. They were probably 70% of the stadium, at least up until middle of the fourth quarter there. Middle of the fourth quarter, it was just all the LSU Cajuns ranting and raving, having a good time. But looking forward to college football bowls. It's always kind of a fun time of year, being able to watch all that stuff happen. You know, it wouldn't be the holiday season without it. So, and Oregon, they're going to be playing against who are they playing?
They've got Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
So you have two of
the most recent losers of the Rose Bowl playing each other.
Okay.
For the rubber match, I guess.
Kind of, exactly right. So that'll be fun. You know, again, the holidays are always fun to enjoy, but college football in the bowls is a neat part of it. But we asked Alan to come in today. The topic today is going to be home fashions and home interiors and the things of the like. We're excited that Alan was able to come in today. Danny is homesick, so Danny's out there listening, I'm sure, and wishing Danny could feel better soon so he can get back in here. And we didn't want to invite him in here with that cough and runny nose.
Hey, we appreciate it.
That's for sure. Well, he's not invited anyway, so... This just made it formal.
I think I'd rather talk about ribs and red stripe for
right.
Thanksgiving than
we'll have to get that recipe put on the website.
Right.
I had shrimp and grits for Thanksgiving, and I thought I was being creative.
Hey, no. I mean, it's what you like and to give thanks for. There's no question about that. But Alan is the owner of Lux Home Interior, or Lux Home Interiors over in Johns Creek, right off of 141 there.
McGinnis Ferry.
McGinnis Ferry, the intersection there. And how long have you had that location over there in Johns Creek?
We have been there 6 years.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I mean, I was feeling pretty smart when I opened that store
right.
in the wealthiest city in Georgia.
Sure.
Across the street from one of the fastest growing counties in the nation.
No brainer.
It was a no brainer.
Back in, 2005,
yeah.
I guess?
Yeah.
And things changed.
Yeah. We went from building 110,000 homes a year in the state of Georgia to 15,000 last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So it's been a bit of a challenge.
Well, congratulations on still having an open sign on the door and being able to do the things that you're doing. For those that are listening out there, Alan, why don't you give them your website address so if they want to follow along with us, they can definitely reach out and kind of see some of the things we'll be talking about.
It's luxjohnscreek.com, LUXE.
Okay, LUXE, johnscreek.com. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about, what are the primary products and things and services that you offer there inside the store, and kind of give the listeners a snapshot of exactly how you guys are set up and how you work.
Okay, we basically position ourselves as a perfect blend between working with a personal interior designer and the choice that you might find in a big box store. We have a smaller store, which keeps our overhead down, keeps my costs down. So we actually can be very competitively priced. And I think one of the challenges I've faced over these last 6 years is they look at the store, they hear the name, and they think, ooh, that's got to be expensive.
Right.
So we're really only as expensive as your as your taste, excuse me. But the way it works is people can come in. We have a showroom where they can see the quality and variety of the products that we work with. And I'm not stuck with any one manufacturer. I have relationships with dozens of manufacturers. We like to build a relationship with our clients. We have, I would put our team of interior designers against any in the city. They're just fantastic. They have the key skill of being able to listen to the client and find out what their tastes are, their style, their budget, their time frame. And based on that, we establish a budget with the client. And this is if they're talking about doing a full room or full home project. I mean, we're more than happy to do a chair or a window treatment, you know, an accessory. But if somebody's working with us and using our design services, we establish a relationship, we establish their needs, we establish a budget, and then we work backwards. Mm-hmm. And our mission is if we, you know, deliver you a smoking room plan that just knocks your socks off, you're going to write us a check.
Sure.
So we put the pressure on us. We actually, most of the time, do not charge design fees mm-hmm. to our clients. So it puts the pressure on us to really listen and deliver what the client wants.
So, you know, in theory, basically, somebody can walk into the store, look at the website, and kind of get a feel for what you guys have. Come in and meet with yourself, meet with one of the designers, and then just start kind of going through a process. And I'm sure budget is probably the first thing on the checklist as you start to work with most people.
It is these days.
It is these days, and that's fine. And that's kind of what's neat that I think on how you guys work is that you said it good. You kind of work backwards. If somebody comes in and says, look, I've got four or five rooms that I need some furniture for, and they start to see some of the quality of the products and so forth, they can just say, hey, let's start with a love seat and a sofa and a coffee table and kind of go from there.
And that's what most people are doing. And to be honest with you, if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I just bought a home down in Reynolds Plantation and I want to do the whole thing, we prefer to work one room at a time. I mean, it really is overwhelming to furnish an entire home. So it's a lot easier to take it in bite-sized chunks. But most of the people we've been working with over the last few years, they're working a piece at a time, and they're working towards an overall goal. And I mean, everybody looks at the magazines, you know, Southern Living, and you see those beautiful
sure.
homes, and you know, boy, I'd love to have a room like that. Well, you can, and you don't have to do it all at once. You can, of course, and we would love that, but a lot of people work a piece at a time and head in that direction.
So somebody could, you know, who does not have any design sense, there's no style of fashion in their life, what's neat is they can walk in and then they, at their fingertips, they have a group of designer or a specific designer that can kind of go through a process. Will a designer, you know, want to look at pictures of the house? Will they want to go out to the house? How does that design process work?
Well, first of all, it's just the relationship. I mean, and I know that that sounds kind of trivial, but it's really important. The client has to click with the designer because, and we see this over and over again in somebody that we do a full home for. That first room, there's a lot of give and take trying to get to understand that client. And then by the time you get to the second and the third room, I mean, there's almost no give and take. What we present, they go, that's exactly what I was hoping for. I love it. So we build the relationship first. We find out their needs and wants, and yeah, we don't have to go to the client's home, and some people are nervous about that.
Sure.
They think they're going to be, and I have to tell you, I mean, even when I have the designers over to my house, sometimes you're like, oh, what are they going to think about this? But these are really friendly designers. We really work hard to have fun. And but we would prefer to go over to the house just to get the sense of style because you can't see everything in a photograph. There's a lot of things in the
right.
periphery that would influence the overall design, and the scale is very important, and that's the huge challenge when people try to do it themselves. And I always joke, you know, you've got HGTV, you've got a lot of design shows on TV, and you can watch them all, but you can watch all the medical shows, and that doesn't make you a doctor. And you can, you know, you can watch
that's
Iron
true.
Chef, and you still can't
yeah.
cook. So
exactly,
it'll help you. It'll help you understand what you want and the styles that you like. But these designers, these trained designers, I mean, they see the matrix. I've got tens of thousands of fabrics in the store, and they're like, do you know where that one was? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's over on this wall. And,
okay.
and I just don't know how they do that.
Well, if somebody were to come in, and let's kind of use that analogy of a love seat and a sofa and a coffee table, and they see a particular style of furniture. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it's got some wood in the legs, and it's got a deeper back and so forth. But they just don't like the particular color pattern of that piece in the showroom. From what I understand, they can go in there and really customize this furniture down to the type of wood, the fabrics that are used, the color schemes. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, it's not really my intent to sell anything on my floor. Now, we do often enough to turn it over and just to show what's new. But 98% of what we do is special order for the client. Some people are a little nervous about that. But I have to say, one good thing that this recession has done is it's made these manufacturers a lot quicker. You mm-hmm. know, if I custom order you a sofa, you're going to see it in your house in 6 weeks
sure.
at the most. I mean, unless there's a fabric delay,
okay.
sometimes four. But what we have in the showroom is enough for you to go, I like the way this sofa sits. Or, you know, I wish it were a little cushier. Okay, let's try this one. But I'd rather have these arms. And of course, I'd rather have this body fabric and or this pillow fabric. And we get you what you want. And as I was alluding to earlier, that scale is really important. We see it all the time. Somebody moves down from New York, and the homes here are so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got these Tuscan-style homes. So you may have had a look and a scale of your furniture in New York, and here you come down to Georgia, and it's kind of a Gulliver's Travels sort of a feeling because your furniture seems way too small. So then you run out to a department store and you see a great deal on a sectional, and suddenly we've seen situations where it won't even fit through the door to get to the room they intended
to
bring, you know,
course,
and
yes.
or ooh, it was a left-handed chaise and I meant to get a right-handed chaise. Those are the kinds of things a designer can really save you a ton of money and just
sure.
make sure it's done right
just
the first time.
Those mm-hmm. common mistakes are definitely avoidable. There's no question about that. So, you know, we picked out a love seat, we picked out a sofa, we found a neat coffee table. I mean, do you guys stop there, or can I get lamps, lampshades, pictures, rugs? Well, where do you guys start and stop with that?
No, we don't stop. I mean, the fact is we do everything, and if I don't, I'll refer it out. So I kind of view myself as a concierge, basically, for your home. And my wife sometimes is a little irritated with me because it seems like I refer out more business than I actually capture.
But, hey, the giver's game mentality, though.
That's what they say. It should come around sometime and smack me in the head.
There
but,
you go.
You know, if somebody needs flooring, we have great relationships with people that do flooring and things like that. The bottom line is my business is the interior design. I make money when we place product in people's homes, and it's everything you need to furnish and decorate your home. But we work with our clients on a regular basis. I may have done a living room for a client, and then they come back and they're going to be redoing a kitchen. Well, there isn't a whole lot for us to do in the kitchen from a furnishing standpoint.
Sure.
Maybe some bar stools and a couple accessories.
But not countertops and cabinets.
No, but
and
we'll
things
have,
like
you
that.
Know, people we have a relationship with,
sure.
we will work with them with that.
What about things like chandeliers and items like that?
Oh,
are
yeah,
those
absolutely.
In your catalog?
Sure.
Okay. And who, you know, okay, we made the purchase. We were excited about things getting to show up. Who's dragging these things off the truck and installing them? I mean, do I have to get some buddies around the neighborhood? How's
no,
that work?
No, once again, it's we take care of our clients. And as a matter of fact, even if somebody orders a chair, and when we order them from a manufacturer, they come to our receiving warehouse, they're inspected. If there's anything wrong, we take care of it then. And then we arrange for a delivery in the client's home, and we are personally there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that with a furniture store.
No. I know from experience
yeah.
that you do not.
No, we're personally there, and we take care of everything.
And what about warranties on these particular pieces? I mean, does that stem back to the manufacturer, or do you guys have some sort of overall override warranty protection? How's that work?
The manufacturers all have a warranty, and we extend that to the client. And I will tell you, when you're dealing with quality manufacturers, the bottom line is we take care of the client. We have only in 6 years had a couple of situations where, you know, this person, it was quite a portly family with large dogs, and gee, this sofa just didn't quite hold up. And,
sure.
you know, so you have to have some delicate discussions there. But I mean, you know, most of the quality manufacturers will have lifetime warranties
okay.
on the frame, and the only challenge to warranties is fabric, because you just never know how they're going to be used. But once again, when you're dealing with a quality manufacturer, if there's an issue, and as a matter of fact, I had a lady who came in just the other day, had a little split in the side on an ottoman, and she bought it from me 3 years ago, and you know, we'll get it taken care of.
Okay. And also, you had mentioned to me that you were up in North Carolina at what's called High Point Market. For those that have probably maybe heard that term or heard of that event, describe for the listeners exactly what that is, how it works, and how do you participate in that?
High Point Market is awesome for furniture junkies. It is a sleepy, industrial, brick, kind of a dreary-looking town that absolutely comes to life twice a year for the spring and fall furniture show. And it's kind of like Vegas and Disney and furniture all crashing together. There's a lot of excitement. The manufacturers are very creative, as you might know, and it's the North Carolina people, the salt of the earth, that are hosting this, and a lot of the manufacturers are from the Carolinas, and so you have this sense of style, and then you just have this salt of the earth fabric behind it, and they're putting on a show for people from around the world, buyers from around the world and around the United States, and so there's a tremendous amount of excitement. There's live music, there's cocktails flowing, at least when the economy is good, you know. And so for somebody like me, I'm a registered buyer. I can go and just wander through all the showrooms. I meet with my regular manufacturers and just discuss issues what we might have. And they actually like to get our opinion on what they're presenting. And so a lot of times we will get the inside scoop on some things. So, for example, Martha Stewart is a huge name in business in general and obviously in home decor. She's actually licensing with one of my manufacturers to do furniture, and the case pieces will be made in Columbia, which is kind of interesting, and all the upholstery will be made right there in North Carolina. Well, that was huge news, and we got, you know, to go see the sneak peek of the Martha Stewart collection.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, all the manufacturers are trying to wow you, the buyer, mm-hmm. with the next neat thing or the fabric that does this. Or so what is it? What's everybody talking about for 2012?
The look is called French Laundry, and it's interesting. I love following trends, and I like to see, you know, who gets in charge of actually starting the trends. I mean, that's an interesting question all alone that I could tell you about. But first of all, when you have a recession, everybody goes back to simplicity and comfort. And so we have seen a major trend in that direction. Not only does it save money in manufacturing and then to the consumer, but it just feels good. And customers who normally are doing very opulent things in their home, and they almost feel guilty in a recession, so they don't do that anymore. So everything goes to simplicity. Then you have the eco trend, which, you know, people talk about it a lot. I still don't have people ask for it very much, but they're kind of interested to know how these things are made. And then, of course, you have the made in the U.S. trend. So you've got the eco trend, you've got the comfort trend, and then you throw in a little bit of this this French look and a little bit of sophistication, and you see the pillows that have the, you know, cream colored pillows, and they've got this French script, and all of a sudden, boom, you slam it all together and you've got French Laundry. So it's sort of this rustic, driftwoody, whitewashed wood, kind of very natural looking, a lot of cream colored, linen colored, natural fabrics, and then you throw a little French writing on it, and suddenly you're feeling very sophisticated.
Then you got it, right?
And the funny thing is that hit. So when the recession hit, the manufacturers were freaking out. They wanted to find something that people would buy. So you go through High Point Market, and literally it looked like a clown threw up. I mean, every color under the sun in each showroom, there was no harmony. And then all of a sudden you saw this simplicity coming, you saw the eco thing coming, and all of a sudden the French thing, and everybody went, oh, that's it. It looks good. So Restoration Hardware is doing it. Target, you can go into the home decor section in Target, and you can see the French. And I think there ought to be a rule about having something in French if you can't read it. You know, I mean,
you have a little translation, awesome translation.
I know they could be having a lot of fun with us.
They could.
It's like when you see people with the Chinese characters tattoos. You know,
what exactly does that mean?
Do they really know what that means?
Probably not. I don't know the answer to that. Well, you mentioned it. You know, made in the USA versus bringing things in from overseas. How is your industry, or do you like to select manufacturers that tend to go with USA products, or where's your stance on that?
I love U.S. manufacturers, and I had the opportunity to tour the Century plant. Century is a very high-end U.S. manufacturer of furniture. You know, it would be the Cadillac of furniture, and I've been in their plant, And it just makes you feel good to see something made in the U.S. They've got an American flag on the wall. There's pride in the employees' faces. And you see raw lumber come in one end of the factory and then this magnificent hand-carved, I mean, just unbelievable furniture coming out of the other end. And they're just wonderful people. I like supporting that. Now, the reason why China has been the recipient of the collapse of that particular industry is because they had cheap labor and access to cheap products. And so the textile industry got smoked and all that went overseas. And then the furniture manufacturers got killed and then that all went overseas. Well, now you see China with a middle class that's exploding and suddenly it's not cheap labor anymore. So now it's being pushed off to Vietnam and the Philippines. So we do have more people coming into the store asking where this is made than we have asking if it's eco-friendly or not. When it comes to accessories and lighting, it's hard to buy something that's made in the U.S.
Okay.
When it comes to furniture, wooden furniture, desks, things like that, some of the big manufacturers, they just can't help it. A lot of that manufacturing is done overseas. And even Century, like I mentioned, a bulk of what they do is made in the United States, but now they have an import line just because, you know, people want to buy made in the U.S., but cost is still a huge factor. And so you have thousands of factories over in China pumping out stuff, throwing it on a container and bringing it over to the U.S., and then you buy a room full of this and get a free TV. I mean, a lot of Americans are going in that direction. What the American manufacturers have done, though, is they have streamlined, they've gotten more efficient, and while they have not compromised on quality on their top end of the line, they may be offering some entry-level product so that you can still buy made in the U.S. And the thing about buying made in the U.S. is you have that customization capability.
Oh, okay.
So you can't order something to be custom finished or custom covered and have it come from China. It's 30 to 40 days on a boat, and then you've got, you know, the trucking from the dock. That's why some stuff is going to Colombia. The labor's cheaper and it's 3 to 4 days on the water. But when I can order something for you in North Carolina, they may have the product sitting right there, or they may build it from scratch, but they can build it to your exact specifications and be here quicker than, you know, even on the water time from China.
So I can get a sofa exactly the length and width and depth I want? Are those kind of specifics is what you're talking about?
Yeah, yes. And the more customization you add to it, the more the cost is going to increase.
Sure.
So since we were kind of, the theme of this is a little bit on the cost side, what a lot of these manufacturers will have, they'll have body styles. And so they'll, you know, based on this length sofa, this depth sofa, choose these arms, choose these legs, choose these back pillows.
Okay.
And it's all within that same model. It's kind of like buying a car and then adding features. But yes, you literally could customize something down to the inch.
Okay. So, you know, a prospective buyer out there who has budgeted the time to put into new furnishings, new home interiors, and they're, you know, they're doing their due diligence and they're walking into the big box and they're looking online. What are the top two or three things that you could suggest? How do you spot quality? Is it thread count? Is it warranty? Is it look? When I say what is quality and we'll go furniture, well, what is it to you? What are those two or three items?
I don't know if I can sum it up in two or three items. Number one, I really do think you go back to that relationship piece. And I will say there is a lot of quality furniture out there, and there's a lot of junk.
Mm-hmm.
The average sofa is kept 7 to 9 years by an American consumer, and there's a lot of stuff out there that won't last until you're done with payments if you've financed it. So you really have to be careful and you really have to trust who you're buying from. You can get a lot of information from the manufacturers on their quality. And there's basic stuff about frame construction and glued and screwed and, you know, doweled and all that kind of thing. When it comes to fabric, there's a rating called double rubs. We call it double butt rubs, but it's basically they.
Stone, I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I say
that?
Did I just get censored? But, you know, something that may have 20,000 double rub rating is going to be a much more upholstery weight fabric. And I can walk through a showroom and I can see some very thin fabrics that really are more designed for throw pillows or window treatments. And it's not going to withstand the typical American family. You know, and so, you know, first of all, when you're looking at a sofa, I mean, one thing that you can do is you can actually bend over and grab a corner and lift up and see if the thing flexes or not in your hand. I mean, that's one very simple thing. But you really just need to get your relationship with the person that you're buying it from. And be very careful. If you're buying from a store that all they care about is selling what's on their floor, then you never know. They may have a prize for that, whoever sells the most of that thing.
Sure, of course.
And so that's why I really encourage the use of an interior designer, because they're going to know who the good manufacturers are, and they want to get what's right for you, not what's necessarily right for the store.
Well, my first furniture purchase was, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 years out of college, and obviously on a new salary budget. We went to a Rooms to Go, and it was newly married. We really didn't have any idea about what we needed, I mean, as far as quality or look or feel. And I don't know if it's changed in the big box world or not. But, you know, the guy that actually checked us out, I'll never forget what he said. And I don't know if this is still echoed, you know, because my wife was asking different questions about this. And he goes, look, he goes, I really don't sell furniture. I sell financing. And it really kind of struck me that his job was to sell the no payments for 7 years and this, that, and the other. And his job was to set me up on a payment plan. And now, is there still some truth to that particular phrase I heard 20-some-odd years ago?
Well, it's probably not my place to comment about another.
Of course
another
it is. This
furniture
is internet radio.
I would say that, you know, you really would prefer to work with an interior designer who's there to satisfy your needs.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that was his goal. That was his motivation, was to, you know, don't there's no reason to pay cash. There's no reason to pay credit card. Just let me type a couple things in here and we'll get you financed.
And once again, if you can get an entire room full of furniture for $2,000 and a TV, I mean, and knowing what I know about, okay, transportation, shipping, construction, you do have to pay for, I mean, what is in some of this stuff that people are selling? I would much rather you just go buy a TV and not deal with some of the furniture that you're getting from some of these places.
Sure.
And I mean, getting back to the quality, you know, obviously people know to look for dovetailing on the drawers and things like that. But
did
I mean,
you know that, Stone?
I didn't have a clue. No.
All right, well, you need to come see me. But, you know, when you're looking at veneer, now we all grew up in a generation where veneer was a dirty word. Well, now it's not. It just depends on the kind of veneer. But, you know, is it solid wood? And there can be some arguments made that solid wood actually can be a challenge because it can warp. But, you know, are you using real wood in your wooden furniture? You know, there's just really some basic things, and there's just so much junk out there.
It does sound like a lot, and it sounds like you guys really do have a neat service as far as being able to explain options, you know, help with color schemes, work within a budget. I mean, there's a lot of services that you guys provide just outside of somebody making a phone call and placing an order and putting it in your house. What about office furniture? Do you guys go down that road, or is it all residential all the time?
We're primarily residential. We would be outstanding for a medical office. You know, let's say you're a plastic surgeon and you want sort of a higher end feel to your lobby or your power office. We do a lot of home offices. If you were talking about doing an office building, that would be something I would probably refer out to a friend of mine who specializes in that. I mean, I could source it, but you know, there are other options.
Yeah, but office furniture is, you know, conference room tables and that. I mean, that's a whole different world, isn't it? Of being able to know who's who in there.
Yeah, and it's a different world, but they're brother and sister, and so. I work with a friend of mine that specializes in office furniture, and so when he has a client that wants a little bit more design sense to their, let's say their conference room, you can have a conference room with a table and a bunch of chairs around it, and you can have your conference, or you can have a power conference room because you want to impress some people or impress potential clients, and that's where we would come in.
Okay. And again, we're here with Alan Wyatt with Lux Home Interiors over in Johns Creek. It's luxjohnscreek.com, and if they want to call the store, what's a good number for them to reach out?
770-622-5120.
And obviously, it's showrooms. I'm sure you have some type of showroom hours. What are those?
10 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
So. And we can meet with people after hours, you know, by appointment.
Can you go over to Stone's house for the Rose Bowl and help him out with a couple things?
Who are you going to root for?
I'll have Red Stripe there.
Are you going to root for my Ducks?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I know that the furniture and a lot of the home interior, you guys do a great job, and we appreciate the things that you guys are doing. Also know that you're heavily invested in the Johns Creek Business Association, so I wanted to let you do a plug for those guys real quick. If I do live and work up in the North Fulton area, would I want to get involved with JCBA?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give you a little bit of my philosophy on that, I mean, I live and work and play all within a couple of miles, of my home and my work. So it's very important to me to how my business is perceived in the community. My reputation is very important to me. I shop at the same Publix or Kroger that my clients do. And as a result of that, I've gotten to know some of my fellow business people. And as a result of that, next thing you know, I'm the president of the Johns Creek Business Association. And it is a fantastic way to get to know some of your other neighbors and business people so that you can network. And we do raise money for college scholarships mm-hmm. for local students. So there's a feel-good aspect to that, too.
Okay, and then is there like networking meetings mm-hmm. or things to do to get together? What are those things involved with?
Yeah, we meet on the third Tuesday of every month at a different host business. We don't meet in December, so the next one is at the Country Club of the South in January. We do occasionally put on a seminar, and who's hosting our
next
seminar?
That's right. I heard there's a big seminar coming up this Friday, right?
Facebook seminar. It's going to be unbelievable with a rock and roll theme.
That's right. We're back to the 80s here.
Yeah, and I think, is it you?
I think I'm going to be there.
You're the one who's going to be doing it for us. So
come out and get involved with that. So what's the website for the JCBA if somebody wants to look that up?
It's johnscreekba.com.
Okay, so if you're a business owner or looking to get more involved in the Johns Creek business community, that would be a good place to go and do so.
It has a Mayberry feel, considering we're in the middle of a 5 million population metro area, Atlanta. It's a small town feel when you get involved in some of these business organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So again, Alan, we appreciate you coming out, and for our prospective listeners out there, give them a call, go by the show showroom, and check them out. They'll work with your budget, they'll work with your home layout, your needs, and you don't have to walk in with $10,000 to get things started. I mean, it's really neat how you guys are set up.
My big challenge is getting people to quit being afraid of us because they think we're going to be expensive. We're only expensive if you have expensive taste.
And that's a good point. Yeah. If you're in the furniture market, if you're looking to make some updates and improvements to your home because you're not going to sell or can't sell for the next 2 or 3 years, just stop by and check them out and meet with Alan or some of the designers over there, and you'll have a solution nonetheless to be able to understand a little bit more about that industry and things to do around your home. Stone, what else, man? How's things going downtown?
Going well. We got things fired up at 200 Peachtree. 200 Office is the actual space inside the old Macy's building, and I think we're still in sort of soft opening phase, but we got shows cranking up there this week. Very exciting. Drive down Peachtree and see our big Radio X sign. And,
I know it. I saw some of the pictures that you put up on Facebook. That is really neat and excited for you guys for sure. So, Alan, any predictions? What's going to be the final of the LSU-Alabama game here in January 9th?
Anger by most of the nation. And and I think justice would be served if LSU, they had a magnificent season. They beat my Ducks. They beat West Virginia. They beat everybody that they had to beat, including Alabama. I don't think they should have to beat them twice. But I would just have a problem with Alabama coming back and winning. So what happens if Alabama beats them by 3?
They will be the BCS champion, my guess would LSU would be the AP national championship vote would be my guess.
And I guess that would be the right thing to do.
Yep, go national.
I mean, Alabama's
champions.
A great team. Don't get me wrong. It would have been nice to have somebody else in there because Alabama had their shot.
They did. And I think Oregon State would have done fine. It would have been more of an interesting game, I think. But
we did at least score the most points against LSU this year.
Yes, you did. Yep. What was the final on that? It was
40-27.
40-27. So there you go. There you go. They can be scored upon. So we will definitely find out. Let's see. Anything else to talk about, Stone?
You know everything I do.
Anything else good out there? Well, guys, as always, we this segment is brought to you by Yepser, yepser.com, Y-E-P-S-E-R. If you're looking for anything new with a website or need some social media needs taken care of, such as Facebook, Twitter, or blogs, please give us a call. Go to the website, yepser.com. And as always, Atlanta, you don't know anything, Atlanta, until you've listened to Everything Atlanta, every Tuesday at noon right here on Business Radio X.